get drunk every once in a while. I may raise hell, that's just my style. I work hard every day, may come rich or don't complain. While they steal their boats and they fly their jets, they can break us down, but we ain't broke yet. Pay attention, or you'll miss it. You're my witness, are you business? You can take my house, I don't need it. Take my ride, you can keep it. But I'm alive and I'm still breathing. You can't take away my life. Take my house, I don't need it.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 10:30 on the East Coast, and that means it is time for none other than Back to Basics Radio. I am your host, Susie Del Macacus, and my co-host is Missing. Welcome, everybody, to the show. While we're waiting on my co-host to show up, you better hurry or he's in trouble. Let's go over the list of sponsors for Back to Basics Radio. And we want to thank all of our great sponsors. And remember, if you're looking for a new company to join, be sure to check out one of the companies or all of them and let them know that Back to Basics sent you. Get in there and join some of these great companies. So, joining us as our sponsors are McHaggis Place, WeLoveWrestling.com, NIVW, No Innocent Victims Wrestling, 4UK Wrestling, Ultimate Wrestling Entertainment, Network Wrestling Alliance, World Championship Wrestling, The Unstoppable Lounge, Keystone Championship Wrestling, 1X Wrestling, Karma Hardcore Championship Wrestling, NAWS, NMOD Hardcore Wrestling Alliance, Global International Wrestling, Radical American Wrestling Federation, RAWF, Extreme Psychotic Championship Wrestling, Howlin' Mad Production, NJPW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Vegas Coin Wrestling, Future Stars of Wrestling, Wrestling Unstoppable Brand Wrestling, Hounds of Justice Hardcore Wrestling, Extreme Sadistic Championship Wrestling, Brawl, B-R-A-W-L, World Tainted Blood Hardcore Wrestling, WWF, World Wrestling Federation, KISS, Keep It Simple Sexy Wrestling, The Delirium Psychotic Impact Wrestling, Platinum Angels Corporation, Resident Evil Wrestling, and Buckshot Wrestling Federation. So remember, if you are out there looking for a new company to join, be sure to join. Check out these companies, and if you want to join, message the owner and let them know that we here at Back to Basics sent them to you. And with that, we are going to talk. First of all, I have a bit of a disclaimer. I know about the drama that happened last night. It stays off the show. In the chat or on air, we're not talking about it. This is all we're talking about it. If you start in the chat, I will mute you. When you're unmuted and you do it again, you're gone. Period. We're not talking about it. So if you've called in and that's what you want to talk about, you might want to rethink about if you really want to talk on air. Okay? Just so you know, we're not discussing last night's radio show. And with that, I will introduce our topic. Tonight's topic is how to run a good company in WU. You know, we see companies come, we see them go almost on a daily basis. If you look at the number of companies, if you just scroll through and look at all of the different companies in WU, there are a ton of them. And, you know, a lot of them are inactive. And I will say I have two inactive companies myself. But companies come and companies go every day. So what, and we've had some that have shut down and come back, the Cactus Place. We've had some that have run for a long time and then have been shut down. You know, we've had some that have been running for a really long time, and they've held to the test of time. What makes a good company? What makes people want to stay there, be active and involved? What makes a bad company? What makes people want to leave a company? Well, there's some different things for us to think about when it comes to companies. So let's think about this for a moment let's look at some of the past companies. We've had some really big companies. We had Saints and Sinners. NLW, even though I don't like the owner, NLW. That ran for a very long time. You had Red Zone Wrestling and Grand Slam Wrestling, which were owned by Teddy Callahan. And, you know, you have WSW. Was started by Relic and then run by HRB. Ran for a long time. You have CSW, ran for a long time. You have RAWF, who's run for several years, for a couple of years now, or coming close to 2 years. They have been, you know, there's some been some great companies that have come and gone. They'd around, and some that have run for a real, UAWF ran for a long time. It shut down and came back until it just got too much for Doc to handle. So there's been a lot of really good companies out there. So what makes them a great company? What makes a company have staying power? So these are a few things that we want to talk about tonight. You know, we're really going back to basics here on the show. And I'm going to bring a caller on air. Okay. 519, is that you, Count?
It is the Count, yes it is.
Okay, well, it's about time you showed up.
I've been sitting in the wings since you've been reading the sponsors, pretty much.
Well, why aren't you logged into the studio?
Well, because you're logged into the studio. I have not logged into the studio because I just got to my power operation station, you know.
Really? Seriously, get into the studio.
I'm getting into the studio right now.
I can't do it all by myself, you know that. I get shinied and I forget.
I do apologize. You know, I had to go for an extra long shower today. Just felt really good. Kent wanted to wash off, and he wrestled really hard today, so we had to, you know, wash up.
Well, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, because I really don't want to smell you.
Well, yeah, I don't want to smell like some people on, you know, I don't want to smell. I'm not going to name names, but Dinklage, you know you smell. It's called deodorant.
Why are you picking on Dinks?
I don't know. It's just fun to pick on Dinklage, okay?
Well, that is true.
But Dinklage, speaking of companies, Dinklage did run a great company called Vices of Virtue Wrestling before he did leave. And he had GMs and they had active events and, you know, so, you know, it's a segue to, in, you know, talk about a good company owner. But we're talking about companies. I know back in NWN, back in the day when Oso was running it, there was over like 1,200 members,
yeah.
And they had like three different brands. And then, you know, RCW with, you know, the Canadian Nightmare, that's his name, yeah. I always forget TCN. And
yeah,
those are
great
companies.
Yeah, I was in RCW for a while with TCN. What is the name? I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, I know. I'm a Curtain Jerker champion. It's one of my favorite titles, Curtain Jerker.
Yeah, well, I really hadn't thought about TCN in a long time. Yeah, RCW ran for a long time. It was a big company.
I was there for over a year, and I finally got my first title fight. That's how competitive the roster was.
I never got a title shot in RCN.
Oh, I did. I had two, and I lost one, but I won the second one. You know, it happens.
Yeah, and it was a very, very competitive company. And it was tough. It was tough to get anything going, you know, to get a title shot in there. So,
yeah, wrestlers are literally scratching and clawing to be noticed.
Yeah, it was one of those that, you know, when you won a title in there, you were really glad you did, because you just, you know, title shots didn't come very often.
Yeah, they're few and far between. They weren't handed out on golden platters. You had to earn blood, sweat, tears. You had to go out day after day to wrestle and, you know, win, win, win. Oh, you've won 20 matches in a row? Well, I guess I can give you a title fight. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I remember in Scum Radio Wrestling, when Lady Vex was running it, I had to do a gauntlet of five people and beat them all to get a title fight.
Yep. Yeah, it was a tough one to get into the title contention there. You know, in RAWF, you really have to work hard to get into title contention. I work really hard not to.
Yeah, you like to fly under the radar, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not in RAWF because I'm after all the titles. I don't care. It's just, you know, I enjoy the company. I'm not as active as I would like to be, but, you know, it's one of those things. But you do have to work hard to be able to get a title match in RAWF. In WFW, you had to work hard.
And that's really what, you know, I think is, if you're going to start a company, you got to make titles that people want and that have meaning to them. You have to have titles that have prestige to them. And I know in the beginning it's not going to be that easy, but you have to start from literally from the ground up. And you want to recruit, you want to have a recruiting team, at least yourself and a few other friends who can spam, feed, make scenes, you know, be a little annoying. But obviously, I hate the recruiters that just keep coming, you know, that aren't respectful. But if, you know, if you say no to them and they go, yeah, you know, no problem, move on. You know, that's not a problem. I have no problem with those type of recruiters. It's really, you know, how you customer service.
Yeah, I mean, when you recruit, and that's something that's really important to a company is recruiting. When you have somebody that's recruiting for you, you want them to be respectful.
A spokesperson for your company.
Because they are basically, a recruiter is first contact for your company. And if they put a bad foot forward, that then skews the entire perspective of the whole company. You know, first impressions are hard to rectify.
They are, and you know, as
a
recruiter, you are the first contact.
No, if you make a bad first impression, it's really hard to come back from that.
So, you know, honestly, I wouldn't have someone recruiting like Caden Steele or someone who has an attitude. You want someone who's nice and has people skills, who doesn't fly off the handle. You want someone smooth and collected. Usually, yeah, usually that's count.
That's really not Caden style.
I was recruited. That's actually how I started GMing. Was I recruited for a few companies back in the day. Then, of course, recruiting turned into GMing one show, and then turned into GMing the whole company. And you know how it goes. And I say, honestly, you want to at least have a good team of GMs, that people who are there to pick up slack, and you have to have a consistent schedule and stick to your schedule. Nothing pisses your roster off more than, you know, not sticking to the schedule. And I know I'm guilty of that. I'm preaching to the choir. I know I'm guilty of that.
You know, one of the things about, you know, the whole schedule situation. Oh, sorry about that. I'm still trying to get over bronchitis, so that's one of the reasons why we didn't have the show last week. I wasn't feeling good, and my voice is still pretty scratchy, so excuse me if I cough in your ear. I try not to.
Yeah, no worries. You're actually not that bad. But yeah, if you cough, you know, I'll just make sure I pull the phone away, and hopefully everybody else can pull their earphones away.
Yeah, I try to at least, you know, maybe, because I have to call, because of my internet, I have to call in on my phone. I try to move the phone away from my mouth when I cough, so. There's a lot of aspects to running a good company. You have to have a good concept. And I will be honest with you. If your concept is to just be a WWF company or TNA, and everything was like WWF or TNA, I'm not even really interested.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in that.
It's been overdone. You know, it's been done to death.
Well, obviously,
and
when you do the wrestling show, all wrestling shows have a similar, you know, they all have to have matches and feud storylines. They have to be some kind of shows and stuff. Like, they have a company, you have to have at least some kind of theme to it, some meaning behind it. But, yeah.
Yeah,
I shine
so, you know, it's really good. You've got to start out with a good idea. And you have to have a good idea and have and it really helps to have a team in place before you actually start. You know, if you're going to have three divisions. If you're going to have three divisions, you want at least one other person helping you. Minimum.
Yeah. And it's like I always say for a roster, because I know, you know, for a roster, for divisions, you always want to have it, for every two divisions, you want to have another GM, because it becomes a huge workload to manage division after division after division. But there are company owners, I know, like Raven with RBMW, she does she has so many different divisions there, and she pretty much does about half of them herself, but she has one trusted friend who does all the other stuff. And so, yeah, like you do want to have at least a few people helping you out with GMing and organizing your company, so it's not just yourself. It doesn't always fall on you.
Right. Because the bigger the company gets, the harder it is for one person to run it. And that's why you need a competent GM staff to help you be able to be able to handle it. And you know, when I started my company EXW, my mind just went blank, sorry. When I started EXW, I had myself, and then I had my brother, and I had two other people that there were four of us running the company. And then we grew so much, we ended up bringing in a fifth person to help. And these were all people I explicitly trusted. The family.
Mm-hmm.
They are my family. And but we started the company, the four of us together, and we each had a division that we ran. And that way, we weren't overwhelmed. And then as we grew, we added more GMs, and we tried not to expand. You know, we worked really hard to grow the roster and to keep adding things that were, you know, we had some divisions that were, they weren't, you know, like we had divisions based on rank or fans. We had divisions based on level, what level you were. And we had title fights for those, but it wasn't like it, you know, we did it a little bit differently, that we had a theme for each of those divisions. And you went in and signed up for the title fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down the line. And if you won, then the next person got the next week. If you lost, you went to the end of the line. And so we did it. We did those. So those divisions weren't as much work to.
Mm-hmm.
To figure out your title matches and things like that. So, you know, we did some things a little differently, but we worked really hard to come up with a different format that wasn't the cookie cutter wrestling format.
Well, I would say for GM, the best thing to do is never take on more than you can actually do. You know, don't overload yourself and make, you know, overwork yourself, because then you burn out and start to lose the passion of it. And you can do it for a few weeks, but then, you know, you see some great companies with some great ideas, you know, they go, and all of a sudden this fiddle out because the owner is burned out. And
yeah.
It's just, if that's why having a, you know, competent GM staff we can all rely on, then that's what it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring one of our callers on. Welcome, Trace.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello, Truth. Long time no see.
How are you doing?
I'm chilling, actually. You guys realize that you basically covered everything already, right?
Oh, no, there's still things we can cover.
Oh, okay.
I have a list.
No, we have more.
I have a list of stuff, of suggestions.
Oh. I like how Susie gets proactive. From the very beginning, that was pretty awesome there.
That was.
On the topic that you're talking about.
Well, you know how the format of this show is. We're not a drama show.
Yeah, well, with what you guys are talking about tonight, I think the key to a successful company is like a total and... like, utter lack of ego within a GM group.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have ego. You can't have someone get their feelings hurt if their idea gets shot down.
Yeah, the sounding board, you know, not every idea you have is going to be what they go with. And you can't get offended by it.
And even if you're the owner, you have to understand that just because you think it's cool doesn't mean everybody else is going to think it's cool. Sometimes you have to trust your GMs. You know, and if they got a good thing going, you say, okay, I want to switch it up. You know, sometimes, you know, the thing, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Leave it alone. You know, have a tournament.
Very,
you know,
very
open
true.
A bar and grill. That's why,
that's
the demise I see of a lot of companies.
You know?
Yeah, that's the demise I see of a lot of companies. They try and change too much because someone over here is doing something and they want to do something like that. It's like, well, you already had a successful company, and now you're screwing up because your regulars, your tenured wrestlers are going to feel alienated because this is not what they signed up for.
Yeah, you don't want to alienate your members.
That's one of the things that I did with my company. We stayed consistent all the way through the whole time we ran it. We did bring new things into the company, but we didn't try to go in and do company-wide sweeping changes.
Right. Also,
there was no need.
But if you're a company owner and the head GM, don't put everybody in every division automatically and say, well, if you don't want a division, come tell us, and we'll take you out. Ask the people, what division do you want to be in? Give that little bit of a personal touch. People actually, remember stuff like that. And if I don't care how cool it seems, if you didn't start your company as a hardcore company, don't change it to a hardcore company. You're going to lose half your members just like that. I don't know why people keep doing that, changing regular old mom and pop, companies. We're now totally hardcore.
Well, you can have hardcore divisions if you want hardcore division, but don't change your whole concept.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, and if you sell the company, please let your members know.
Yeah, it's always a good idea. If you sell the company, let them know.
How many times have we all been victim of that? You go to your favorite company and name something different, and there's somebody else in charge. What the hell just happened? They sold the company and didn't tell anybody.
Well, that's a good way for me to leave a company.
Exactly. It's like, I'm earning money for you. You don't even respect me enough to tell me, hey, I'm thinking about selling this place.
Yeah, it's cool. A dialogue between your roster.
When you're ready to shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Let people know you're shutting it down. It's not fun to go in and all of a sudden say you've been fired from a company that you've been a part of for a long time. When Teddy Callahan was closing down Grand Slam Wrestling, I asked him not to fire me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, please don't fire me. Even if you're not doing anything, I might not want to leave because, then I can honestly say, oh, I'm sorry, all my company spots are filled.
I'll
find something I want to switch to, I'll leave, but I want to stay until I absolutely have to leave.
Ooh, one more. If you have less than 5 divisions, you do not need a head GM. The company owner can do that. You don't need a head GM. No Napoleon complex people, we don't need that. If you have less than, 5 divisions, there's no need for a head GM. Really, come on. Cut it out.
Yeah.
You don't have to make your friend feel special by blowing up their ego.
Owner.
Exactly. Now, if you got a whole bunch of, division and whatnot, a head GM would be a good idea. But less than 5 didn't hurt to do that.
Draven Blackbird has a question from the chat. He wants to know, is it okay for a company to ask the people in the company what would they like? My answer is yes, I see no problem with asking your roster what they would like to see from their company they're in. Obviously, you can't always give them everything they want, but you can, take their advice, and consider, their desires into consideration.
That's a good point.
You want feedback from your roster. If something isn't working, you want to fix it.
That's true. So if you have a super pay-per-view, but you didn't ask your roster what they wanted, don't get mad if no one shows up.
You want feedback. You've got a division, and I'm just gonna throw out there a hardcore division, and everybody's asking to be out of that division. then we need to start saying, hey, what can we do to fix this? Something, obviously something's wrong. What can we do to fix it? What would y'all like to see? Or what would you like to see in play set? There's nothing wrong with getting the input of your roster, because if you don't have a roster, you have nobody to. So what's the point?
Good point.
So yeah, getting feedback is really important, and you know, and also it's also, you know, if you somebody that's been in the company a long time and they all of a sudden leave, count. It doesn't hurt to message them and say, hey, was there a problem? Was there something happened? Is there something that was wrong that I can fix? We'll get you back. Check, you know, it doesn't hurt to check in with company members that leave. Because if you're not checking in with company members that leave, then you're not, that's another way that you're going to limit to be able to find out if there's something wrong.
Well, exactly. If people leave, you know, it's good to send a message and go, hey, why'd you leave? You know, is there a way I can entice you back? They can tell you no and, you know, tell you 20 different ways you can go. But, you know, the least you can do is, you know, offer in a hand, say, hey, what, you need a contract? You're like, what can I do? Like, you know, what didn't you like about it? And even if they don't come back, maybe the feedback and the critique you get, sorry about that, will help you, you know, in the future.
Mm-hmm.
People take criticism and they get, you know, affronted. And it's like, no, sometimes the best thing you can get told is bad things just so you can work on what to improve.
Yeah, we truth dropped. I'm going to bring another caller on.
Sounds like a plan.
Hey, B.
Oh, Jesus. So we want tips about what makes a good company and what makes a bad company, right?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about companies.
Okay, what makes a bad company? Anything run by T. the Rev Callahan. What makes a good company? Anything with great talent that's not a, well, as Susie called it, WWF. Although I am really wondering why the World Wildlife Federation is doing wrestling companies, but okay.
Well, WWE, you know, whatever.
But that's okay. I have no problems with pandas wrestling. It's, hey. and what's this? 187, really? Come on, man. And we all know that good company is everything with B-Man. Bad company, anything that involves former misfits. Just saying.
Okay. Take the ego out of the conversation.
I don't know if B-Man can remove himself from
ego. Take your ego out of the conversation. All right? So, we're wanting to have a good conversation.
All honesty. I was going to say, all honesty, ego out of the equation. All right, seriously, bad company, okay? Anything that does not have storylines, that has, like, pretty much the old-fashioned Sloan and Astra divisions where you're giving people 1,000 matches for, like, a coin at a fucking time, no. Good companies are ones that have great storylining, great competition, and GMs that actually care about their work. That's just facts. If you
would, you do you prefer more? Do you think companies should go with more tournament based, or do you prefer shows? Like,
I prefer both. I don't mind it. Like with shows, at least like it gives the GMs a chance to showcase their talents, whereas with tournaments, it's more just that's where the wrestlers get to showcase their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say one thing. I do disagree with you about one thing. You said a bad company is any company run by Teddy Callahan.
That might be my ego talking, but yeah.
I disagree. I disagree because I had a lot of fun, and everybody that knows me knows I don't like baseball. But I had a lot of fun in Grand Slam Wrestling because it was different. It was different than every other wrestling company out there. You had to use a lot of strategy in your matches because, you know, the object was is you got five moves, you got a home run. And every move after that, you got, because, you know, there's a distance, how far, in a home run, how far was the ball hit? And that was what got you advanced in the company, not necessarily if you won or not. And I liked that company because the concept was so different than every other company I was in. And I had to stop and think what I was doing. And I had to put more thought into it than just, okay, click, 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 go.
I figured out how to
do a five move set, including a diving headbutt.
Yeah. I'll agree that Teddy the Rev Callahan has good concepts, like makes things interesting with wrestling companies. That's like I'd be lying if I said that he doesn't do that. But that's the thing. Where with myself, and I'm pretty sure 90% of Wrestler Unstoppable, it's complicating a simple thing. It's like, okay, so we got to do five moves to get a home run, but wait, we don't even have to win this match to advance. Like, that sort of says, like, that the competition of it all doesn't matter. It's just really who gets the most moves in.
Well, but I mean, it's just like the trash talk in RAWF. You get points for trash talk. You get points for winning. I can get points and not win the match.
Yeah, sometimes you can. I'm not sure if you can get more points, but you can get points for trash talking and still losing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, even if you won the match, even if you won the match and it's been the same system for 3 years, that winning matches advances you higher up the rankings. So what Teddy's done is he's sort of, I don't want to say rorted the system, but he's just changed the dynamic of it, in which it's like, well, even if you win, it doesn't really matter, because if you don't trash talk...
Well, it does matter, but they got five...
No,
if they get more home runs statistically, then sadly in that division, that's the way they, you know, award prizes. It's all by the points. And yes, if you can win all your matches but not have as many home runs as people who don't win all their matches. And I know that it's a piss-off, so it sounds like there are going to be divisions that you're not going to like, and that's why it's an interesting concept. I don't know if I'm particularly fond of it, but it is an interesting concept.
Well, just like with RAWF, you get points, and you can improve your standing without actually winning the match. You get more points if you win the match. That was the same thing with Grand Slam. You got points for winning the match. You got points if you hit home runs and distance and stuff. So you can still, it wasn't all based on winning and losing. And, most of the companies out there, and I will say with EXW, which you were a part of for a long time, actually, matter of fact, one of the best promos ever made was involving you. You either won or you lost. And So I like having a company that has more than just, oh, you won all the matches, so yay for you.
I like
when there's something different than something a little different to add a different asset to the company.
No, I get that. That's what. But like I said, Teddy does do great concepts. I can't take that away from Teddy Callahan. His concepts of Hall of Fames might be a bit squiff, but hey. But his concepts of company is good. GFW. That's great for all of you baseball fans. Like, that's awesome.
I wasn't a baseball fan, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, he was a part of NLW back. He was a great GM for NLW. I was a part of both the brands he run in NLW. But the thing, that's what I'm saying though. Yes, Teddy's doing something new and something unique, but you also do have to remember that there are just some people that like sticking to the old ways. I'm used to just winning matches and getting higher up the rankings, whereas if you're in RAWF, ladies and gentlemen, well, we all know the way you get to the top of that mountain. All you have to do is play Amadeus style and you're there. I'm sorry, but...
That's one of the things that, we're really trying to encourage is people to think outside the box. When we're talking about company, what makes a good company? And I wholeheartedly believe that something that makes a good company is something unique that makes it stand out, especially when we have so many companies that are cookie-cutter companies. We need something that makes it stand. You need something to make a company stand out to draw more people into it.
Yeah, I look at it, a good company, you basically want to have things, and obviously you're not going to improve to everybody, but I'd say different visions, so it's different, different things for different people, different strokes for different folks. And honestly, having different events, having people who run, stick to your themes, obviously, and then think outside the box with your themes, and obviously you're not going to please everybody, because if you try to do that, you're not going to please everybody, anybody at all. But it's really just about having competent GMs and divisions, and... you want GMs who are not biased and who they can have their own biased opinions, but don't act on their biased opinions. Because when GMs start, politickering around the scenes, behind stuff and start messing, that's when things get ugly sometimes too. I've seen that in my days of WU sometimes. The ego behind the scenes, just messes with, it does mess with, the owners. Sometimes I've seen owners, give themselves title fights after title fights instead of, actually elevating the roster. I know Tessie was really bad for that.
You've got to have GMs that, and I personally, I don't mind if a GM is a fighting GM in a company. I don't care if they do. Or an owner. I don't care if the owner is fighting. I don't care if the owner is fighting, but what I don't want to see is when there's all the favoritism. All the GMs are getting all the title shots. If they earn it, they've worked hard and they've earned it, they deserve a title shot.
They've won matches and earned it.
A title shot. And, so... It just depends on how the company is run. And I will tell you, if I see the situation where GMs and owners are getting all the title shots and they're not earning them, I will leave a company.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I personally, as when I GM, I personally get a stance. I don't like to win titles if I'm an owner or a GM. Like, I know when I ran NWN, I ran half. Well, I was a GM there for the Karma brand, and I was not on the Karma brand. I would only win matches on any show I was not basically in control of, because I didn't want any claims of favoritism or biasism. You know, didn't want any of that stuff. And I just personally, myself, I don't like to win titles of companies. To me, it's a way to pad achievements. And I don't, well, like, now, if I win a title in like a tournament title, or I win a spot for a fight because I, you know, actually earned it, then I will fight the match like I'm going to win. You know, I want the title because I've earned it. But I don't like to gift myself. You know, I don't like the idea of fighting for my own belts. It's supposed to be there for other wrestlers to fight, not for me.
And you know, and that's perfectly fine. And that's
my opinion on it, though.
Yeah, that's what makes it great, is we all have opinions, and we all see, you know, and that's what allows us to have great company. You know, you get a bunch of people, you know, that, you know, have different ideas and different opinions. You're going to get more ideas, you're going to get more thoughts on it, on how to improve, how to make things better.
Oh, yeah. Some of the best friends I've had in this game are people I've worked with. Some people, I can't stand them, and we could disagree on almost everything. But because we are, you know, adults and can discuss things rationally, sure, we don't always agree on things, but because they come from a different walk of life, see things differently, it's a different perspective. Therefore, when you're brainstorming, it's not just your own ideas and the difference of opinions. As long as you can hash them out, you know, without, you know, resorting with ego, leave the ego, you know, like True said, leave the ego alone. If you can talk with that, you can have some great ideas. But like Susie said, you know, the differences of people is what makes a company great.
Probably a great example of that was when Graveyard Wrestling first got started.
Oh, yes, because Steffers, King Outlaw, and then I think Dr. Payne was there for a while. But he had the other company as well.
Yeah, and they started something that was done through, like, all the graveyard scene and everything else, and people loved it, and it just kept growing and growing, and they were doing trading card tournaments and and all different kinds of things that you could win different prizes. And now look at them. They've got heaps of members, and it's a long list of people that are in there.
Oh, and some great wrestlers. I actually was in Graveyard since the beginning. I only recently left, and that's because I needed the company spot. But I actually am going back there now. But, yeah, it's a great company. They have great competition. And, you know, it started, you know, they stuck to the idea of the theme of being, you know, and because Outlaw and Steffers are so different personalities, they, you know, it brings a creative harmony to the company.
What
I feel like we lost
creative
Susie.
Harmony to a company. I'm sorry, I hung up my phone and kind of disconnected myself.
Oh, we were talking about Graveyard and how when Graveyard came out, that's why it took off so well, because of the owners. It was Doc Payne, Steffers, and Outlaw, and it was all three owners. So they were a little, they were different, but they all got along and, you know, could see eye to eye on business. And because of their difference, they formed a really great company. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and, you know, have you ever tried running a company with your family?
I don't make it a habit of working with my family because Count doesn't have any family.
Yeah. try running a company with your family. That really gets interesting because if, you know, like you're mad at your brother, but yet you're running a company with him. Yeah, that gets a little...
Well, it's like even with friends, you leave work at work and you leave pleasure at pleasure, you know what I mean? You don't get mad at them for stuff that happens at work, you know, outside of work, but and obviously don't take things from outside of work and bring it into work. It's, you know, you have to maintain some level of detachment.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you know, it's...
It's true. I can imagine it's strenuous though some days dealing with family.
Yeah, you know, you're sitting there going, I'm not talking to you today, but I have to work with you. Yeah, it's fun. It's interesting, and some days are better than others. But you know, that's it anyway. But yeah, try running a company with your family. That gets really interesting. All right, let's talk about belts.
Titles.
Your titles.
Which is really what the company should. Everybody in the company should be fighting for the top titles. Any title, really. All the titles should have some kind of merit and meaning behind them. And obviously, you should have an elevator of titles. You know, obviously, there's just top titles and there's, you know, middle titles. You know, and you have to have competition for them to make them worth fighting for. It's almost a catch-22, chicken and the egg statement. But you want to have competition for your title, but you have to make the title mean something, so there is competition for the title.
Yeah. You know, I mean, one of the things that we did in EXW, when we got enough people to make it viable to actually have people fighting for the titles. We had enough people that, okay, now we're actually going to have enough people to make it worthwhile to fight for a title. We created tournaments for each title, and the winner of the tournament became the first title holder. So, like, for the women's title, I actually won the tournament. I had to, you know, I had to wrestle my butt off to win the tournament, and I was the first women's champion. And so, you know, you have to come up with how are we going to have our inaugural title holder? Are we going to do a tournament? What are we going to do to have our first title holder? Then you have to also decide, how are we going to defend that title? Is it going to be based on rankings? Is it going to be based on, you know, there has to be a criteria of who can fight for the title. And you have to have that in place. So that you don't look like an idiot when you start having all your title matches. And, you know, you look like you actually know what you're doing if you have a criteria in place.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say yeah to that. I'll be perfectly honest. I was like, I'm a bit tuned out, sorry.
I was listening. I was just busy looking at the fact that a mad cow spanks Steffers, and I was a little booty blinded.
Really?
I'm sorry.
Why do I need
Hey, I was distracted too. I have three women talking about my nuts in the chat right now. It's a bit fucking distracting. Like, it's like...
Wait, you actually have some? Are they questioning the existence of them?
Well,
back to Kyle's.
Maddie's saying that mine are apparently so small that pages had to draw a map to find them or something. I don't know. Some sort of weak-ass trash talk there from Mad Cow, but not much you can expect else from an English woman. So,
okay, Mr. Prison Colony. Anywho, back to titles.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what Tank just said.
Which one is that?
Her very last one. Right about
nuts, B has nuts. I think B-Man has nuts. I have never seen them, so I don't plan on actually putting an excavation to go find them. You know, I'm just going to leave them alone.
All we have to do is ask Paige.
But then Paige is a woman scorned, so anything she says is going to be biased. So why would I believe it?
How the fuck is she a woman scorned? Like, seriously. Like,
you guys broke up, so obviously she has a bad opinion of you.
I retired because my retarded manager decided, oh, well, he wants to go get a full-time job. So that didn't leave much room for me to freaking wrestle. So I come back and find out, oh, my wife is, like, has filed for divorce, and she's with some other numbnuts that, well, I don't even know who
what
the hell is.
What do you expect?
Yeah, you know.
I wouldn't say I abandoned her, more like my manager forced me away from her. So it's like,
that's abandonment. Anywho, you know what I said about titles. You have to have a process in place to name your how you're going to come up with who is your first title holder when you start a company. You know, the first time anybody holds that title, what process are we going to use? And then you also have to have a process in place to determine how the title is going to be defended. Is it going to be based on rankings? Is it going to be, are you going to have a number one contenders match? How are those going to be? You have to have a process in place when you start having title matches, so that when you start, you don't look like a complete idiot.
Exactly. You want to have things set up.
That's
what I said. You want the balls rolling. You want to have your titles and, you know, what's going to happen with it. You want to have everything set up so when you go, there's no hiccups. You know, there probably is going to be some kind of hiccups. There happens to usually be, you can only plan for so much, but you have to, you know, there's going to be some hiccups and little road bumps along the way. When you're starting a company, you want to do as much as possible to prepare for what you can control.
Yeah, and be ready that if it flops, be ready to make changes.
Yeah, make some changes, work a little bit harder.
Be ready for it. Yeah, you know, have a backup plan. Because not everything works the first time you try it. Or the second or the third, so then abandon. So, you know, you have to be flexible and be able to make the changes if things don't work in your company, whether it be how your titles are determined or how you're going to do your rankings. You have to have something in place, and you have to be ready to make changes if things aren't working.
You have to be flexible.
Yeah, you have to be flexible, and that's where asking your roster, hey, this doesn't seem to be working. Do you have any ideas? Is a good idea. What do y'all think?
Exactly. You want to have your titles, and you want to have your titles fought. You want to make sure you can spur you on your roster. You want your roster. And if there is hiccups along the way, you have to prepare for, you know, you can't really prepare for every problem, but you have to not let them take away from your end mission. And you got to think, well, can I use this to better what I can do? No. Well, is there any way of this working in my favor? You know, it's all about just going on the flow and trying to help it build your company and change what you have to change, because not everybody's going to like it. If, you know, if you unveil a new company and it's just, oh, no, this is kind of a boring concept, oh, we've seen this before, you know, obviously it's going to affect you a little bit, but don't take it as, oh, they don't want me, I won't do anything. No, don't be all sooky and sulky. Just literally change a few things and try again. First you don't succeed, try. You know, Donald Trump has declared bankruptcy so many times, and yet he is worth so much money now to this day. So it's about failure. You have to, you know, look what didn't work to find out what that does work.
Yeah, you're going to have failures. It's going to happen. Part of life.
I will just say, though,
if you're prone to failure, skydiving is not for you.
I think the best one I've seen is like when you see companies that pay homage to wrestlers that have passed away, like we've seen with companies like CSWF. They've obviously got the title for Yvonne, and Graveyards, I do believe, has a Dr. Payne, a title honoring Dr. Payne.
Mm-hmm. RAWF has the Platinum Dragon.
Yeah, RAWF has the Xantha Platinum Dragon one that happens. But yeah, I think, honestly, just companies like that are what makes it great with their titles, because they've got all the major titles that you care about, like your world heavyweight, your tag team. Some companies still do tag teams. And
women's titles.
Yeah, the women's titles, of course. But yeah, but when you've got a company that does that and pays homage to like wrestlers that have unfortunately passed on, then yeah, it's just another good tick in my book for companies like that. Don't everybody talk at once.
I'm sorry, I was taking my medicine. But you also need to be careful, though, with that you don't, you can have too much.
I have to step away for just one moment. I'll be right back.
You should also be very careful about having titles paying honor to those that have, you know, left us, like Yvonne and Dr. Payne. You can get too many. I mean, you can have a ton of titles for those who have gone on. And then you almost look at it and think, well, everybody has a title here named after them. You know, so you want to be careful about how many of those type of titles you have.
Oh, definitely. Like there are companies I have seen that that have like just ridiculous titles, like the show pony title or the glitter title or some crap like that. It's like it diminishes from the company. That's why I just personally feel there should only be the major titles. Like, if you want to get technical with it, if you're a company that likes the United States, then have a United States title. That's fine. If you like being international, then have an international title. But just have your main ones like that: the World Heavyweight, the Intercontinental, or whatever, Tag Team, Women's, and if you want a Light Heavyweight division, go with that. But don't, like, make stupid titles. Like, perfect example, back in NLW, I don't know if you were there, Susie. But
no, I was never in NLW.
Well, back when No Limits Wrestling was happening, they had that stupid Sloan and Astra title, and that was pretty much the title letting people know that you were on Stallion or Teddy the Rev Callahan's shit books, and that's where you got put, and you got given thousands of matches for zero coins. It was ridiculous.
Well, CSW had the whiny bitch title.
Yes, well, I'm pretty sure Tad Beaglewolf Dennis would be winning that constantly, but that's just my opinion.
Well, yeah, well, you don't really want me getting started on that topic. But, yeah, that type of a title is something you have to be careful with as well. If you have titles that mock people, then you actually can run people out of your company. And I know that the whiny bitch title in CSW did cause some problems. And so, you know, it was actually, it was done away with. And so having titles that, you know, mock people and all can cause problems. You have to be careful about making titles like that. Now, here's another thing about titles. What should your title to wrestler ratio be?
Sorry, repeat that one. I'm getting distracted by bloody Amadeus and Judgment in the chat.
What should the wrestler to title ratio be? You know, if you have a roster of 50, how many titles should you have? Or if you have a roster of 100, then what should the ratio be?
I follow the WWE standard of things, because we know WWE has about 100 wrestlers in their company. So they've got about 5, maybe 6 titles. So I think that's a perfect ratio, because that just helps keep every wrestler hungry and make them want to be the best. Whereas
so
if you have
20-1.
Yeah, about 20-1, yeah.
20 members to one title.
I think so. If you want to ration it out a little bit, you can do like. Because we're talking about how many members you have in a company, so you could do 30 to 1, 40 to 1. I've seen in Graveyard Wrestling, they've got literally 99 wrestlers to one division, and that's for the World Heavyweight Title.
Well, World Heavyweight Title is typically anybody in the company is eligible for it.
Now, see, this is where I'm going to get hated, and I'm sorry, but okay, I like the fact that these companies have been unique and have done, like, you know, even women can be the World Heavyweight Champion. That's awesome, but let's remember that also, that if this was done in actual wrestling format, that the women's championship would be their World Heavyweight Title. There is that time where they have seen women get, like, in international championships and stuff like that, but I've never seen a female World Heavyweight Champion. But that's
yeah,
what
but
makes...
we're also not talking about WWE. In WU, it's a little different.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. But that's what makes the woo dynamic, like, really, well, I don't want to say chaotic, but it does. That's why we have, like, 99 wrestlers in one division, instead of having smaller divisions where it's just, like, 40 or 50 to 1. Well, Mistress Doom, if you've got a problem with me being on air, why don't you get off your fat ass and call up the fucking show?
Yo, you don't know. I actually see Mistress's bottom. You know, it's not bad.
No drama. This is a drama-free zone. So, wait, cut it out.
Yeah, B-Man, relax. Yeah, I'm back, by the way. Sorry about that. I had to go take care of something for a real moment.
All right, we're talking about wrestler to title ratio.
Well, I know when King Outlaw gave me NWN, he always said it's good to have eight wrestlers for one title. You want to have a title for every 8 wrestlers in your company, just so you can have competition so you don't have people getting too bored. Myself, I think it's about, you know, anywhere between, depends on the company, but I'd say about 10. You want to have 10 wrestlers per title, just so you have people fighting. You know, not everybody's going to have a title fight, but at least there's people. You don't want to have too many titles, because there is a problem with small companies, like 30 members, and you see, like, there's 20 titles. And it's like, what, does everybody in the company get one title? Like, you know, it's a little too much. But it's also, you see a company with, like, over 1,000 members, or, you know, well, back in the day, now you see a company with over 300 members, and they have, like, maybe 10 titles, and it's like, that's maybe you need a little bit more.
No. We have another caller I'm going to bring on. Area code 951, who is this?
This is Zach Ryu.
I'm sorry, who?
Zach Ryu.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. We'll get back to you. Okay.
So much drama free zone. You just got rid of a listen. You just got rid of a caller because you don't like who he is.
I muted him. I didn't hang up on him. I just muted him. We'll come back to it. We will. All right. Welcome to the air, Lord Amadeus.
Wow, it's been a while. I'm actually on B2B.
It has.
It's
been about a month and a half, bud. How you doing?
Month and a half. Trying longer than that, but anyways.
More than likely.
Have you been here at all since we moved to Thursdays?
No, I don't believe I have. So, by the way, B-Man, congratulations on being the new RAWF Glitter Champion.
I think that's isn't that a total reserve for you on the dais? Because we all know you're the biggest glitter person around.
Well, yeah, but I put you in there just because, well, you need to learn.
I need to learn how to
be more like me. Yeah.
Sounds like a lovely title, B-Man. Congratulations.
Hold on. So you mean I need to learn to be more of a person that rips off other artists' songs? And
Exactly.
Topic on hand.
Drama-free zone.
That wasn't drama.
Okay, B-Man, you're going on a timeout. All right. Amadeus, we're talking about how to run a good company. So let me ask you, the most recent question is wrestler to title ratio. B-Man says about 20 to 1. Count says about 10 to 1. What do you think is a good ratio of wrestlers to titles?
You know, I would say, and considering what do I have? How many titles? I haven't actually gone through and counted, but I mean, I'd say anywhere between five and ten to one. You know, I think it would depend, you know, on how diverse of a population or a roster that you have. It would depend on how diverse of a title set, division set you want to have, you know, and it all depends. Each company owner is different. Me, I've got just about the right amount of titles, I think.
Yeah, I like anywhere from, I honestly think, you know, 5 to 1 might be a little low, but somewhere around the 8 to 10 range, I think is a good number. So, you know, you start getting around 8 people, then you're going to get some competition in the division. You're going to get some competition for the title. Now, that doesn't mean that you're only going to keep 8 to 10 people in that division, but as you start growing, you know, you get 10 people, okay, that's a good number to start with, like your world title. You get 10 more, okay? Let's add a men's title. You know, you get 10 ladies. Let's add a women's title. And about a 10-to-1 ratio to me is a really good idea on where to start. Now, tags is a little different because, you know, you may only have 6 or 7 tag teams. But, you know, that's 12 to 14 people. And so... So tax is a little bit different, but just your regular titles, and that's not saying any, you know, downgrading any titles, but your non-tag titles, I think about 10 to 1 is a good ratio. And
give or take, yeah.
And B-Man just had a hissy fit and left, so he didn't like being put in timeout. Oh, well.
He said in the chat he was, you know, didn't feel like being drama-free and so enjoy our time on Sesame Street. And all I want to say is, could you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? You know, because I would count, like, the count from Sesame Street, how many, you know, Fs I give for the men, you know, leaving, but I just can't count that low. You know, it's not really fun to count to zero.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sorry, you know, sorry you don't like the fact that I want to keep it on topic here, people. We're talking about companies, and we're talking about how to run a good company, what makes a company good. And really, we've talked about a lot of stuff, but your titles have been an important part of companies. And if you don't have titles, people aren't really going to be interested. So,
well, you can fight in storyline and everything, but if there's no titles or at least some, you know, at least you feel like you're going up the card, you're going, there's no reward, there's no prize, there's no carrot on a stick, if you will, then what's the point? That's what titles are there for.
Well, let's talk about, and we've already talked about, you know, diversity. Did we talk about diversity in the number of
diversity of titles?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we ever talked directly about diversity, but yes, you want to have different titles for different things. Like, some companies have tournament titles that you can only win by winning tournaments. Some have 5-minute tournament titles that you can only win from 5-minute tournaments. You know, some have just, you know, hardcore titles. They have, you know, tag titles. There's different divisions. You can even do, like, themed single titles, like women only, men only, you know, level this or below divisions. Like, it's this diversity of titles that gives everybody a chance to grow.
Give everybody a chance to, and you know, I know that with, you know, with having, like, your level, you know, like you could say you're lightweight, you're middleweight, you're heavyweight.
Yeah.
You know, if you did it by number of fans, as people grow and get more fans, they're going to fight different people. And that's all, you know, there's always going to be change in that division. In those divisions, especially the lower two, there's going to be a lot of change. And so you have a lot of opportunity to wrestle different people. And I think that's a good thing, too. Always wrestling the same people all the time, it's a little monotonous. And that's why diversity in your divisions, the diversity in your titles, creates more opportunity to face different people.
And sometimes, I would say, if you notice your roster has become complacent, sometimes you got to bring new people in to shake them up. You got to bring, you know, outside talent in, like a stable. You know, Judgment always says bring in misfits, but I don't know about that. Misfits are sometimes fun, but, you know.
Just bring them in, just don't give them control.
So, yeah, don't give them control, but bring them in and let them stir the pot. Like, bring some people in to shake stuff up. Like, you know, don't, you know, even if you don't bring the misfits, bring, find truth, find, you know, just bring some people who are talkers, you know, bring talent you know on the feed who go, well, this person's good, see if I can recruit them. Because then you can bring new people and new voices. If things get stagnant, why not shake up the pond?
Sorry.
What? What are you laughing at?
I just couldn't help but.
Are you laughing at Draven?
No. I was just laughing at the irony of Count's statement. That's all.
I know he was.
Okay. So, you know, I think the diversity, give them different things to be interested in. I know in my company in EXW, we had hardcore tag titles. And that was a, you know, and believe it or not, I was actually in that division, and my tag team was the most dominant tag team in the division. We had
hardcore
tag
team
longer and more often than anybody. Considering I don't like hardcore, that says something. I always screw up hardcore matches. So,
yeah, I know. Cause I do know the BOV, they do have a hardcore tag team division. I know, I don't forget who the champions are right now, but it was a fun division. That actually is a great concept for tag matches. Because honestly, you know, obviously normal defense is cool in a match for a tag if you want to. But, you know, most companies don't have hardcore tag matches, so it is a cool concept.
It's an underused concept, I believe.
Yeah, I would go with that.
So,
other than the BOV, I can't think of a company that has hardcore tags at this moment in time currently.
Let's talk. We've got some more topics. We've got about 10 minutes. Weekly shows. What do you think about weekly shows?
I would say back in the day when USL was busy, you know, it mattered not to stage shows on Monday, Tuesday. But since, you know, but at this point in time, USL isn't as prevalent. So I would say there's real no rule, just, you know, consistency. If you're having a show, consistent communication and hire a GM who's going to run the show every week, every keep consistent with your schedule. And if there is complications, obviously, you know, tell your roster, but, you know, try to stay current. And obviously shows are fun. I'd say shows are good for storylining purposes. You can, the GM person, you know, can start, you can either be live or just a normal show where you just make matches and let people storyline in the scene. Though I do prefer live shows, obviously.
I think weekly shows can help you give a build-up in a storyline.
It does.
You know, it's. I think that it can, you can get a good build-up going, and it gives you an opportunity to, you know, because if you think about it, let's talk about WWE. You know, up to WrestleMania, they have things that lead up to the big fights at WrestleMania or any other pay-per-views. It's not just all of a sudden we're throwing these two together and there you go. So a weekly show gives them a platform to go back and forth and be able to have the different to build up to a big match. Amadeus?
But yes.
What's your
weekly shows? Weekly shows do help build the storyline. And having one every week allows people to come in there every week and advance what they're doing. And so hopefully we have people who are just going to be there having fun, making, you know, noise at each other. It can, you know, elevate. And then if you're going to have weekly shows, though, I always say it's good to have a pay-per-view. Even if it's a small pay-per-view, you don't have to go all out and make, like, a huge event, but at least some kind of event to cap off the shows. It makes the shows more complete. It looks more polished. If you're going to have weekly shows, I would suggest having a pay-per-view, at least some kind of event, at, you know, to calm of, I can't say the word.
To allow the build-up and in the storyline, it's the climax of the storyline.
She said climax.
She said it.
But anywho, I know.
But that's what it is. That's what it is.
Shows are a must for a good company, period. Whether it be a, you know, show run by a GM for a specific, you know, or if it's just a normal match show, but you definitely should have a monthly pay-per-view. I mean, most of the people who play this game are wrestling fans. They follow WWE. I would say at least 60%. Maybe I could be wrong about that number, but I'm guessing it's around 60%.
I'd say around half.
Yeah, maybe a little less than that. I don't know. But, you know, the concept of a monthly pay-per-view is not foreign to most people. And some people actually expect it, so.
Well, and that's where and just like with WWE, it just all of a sudden, boom, you don't have a match at the pay-per-view for no reason. There's always something that leads up to it. You know, they do have the pre-show matches, but you know, you look at your big matches, and you know, you usually have about three or four big matches throughout the night, maybe five. You know, your title matches are big matches, but sometimes you have rivalry matches. But you have several big matches out there, and those don't just happen overnight, because then people would be really confused. Well, why are they doing that? Well, that's why they have the weekly shows, to build up and build the drama and build the story so that it all comes to a conclusion, and then they build, bring it down and start something else. And that's the natural progression of a storyline. So, you know, I think weekly shows are a really good part of the show.
If you're not going to have weekly shows, at least have events, which kind of becomes a weekly show, but at least have, like, I know Cycle Girl is famous for all of her amazing events she does for companies. She used to run them with, when I was doing the owner of NWN, she used to come in and run some awesome events because Haruki had, you know, contracted her. And, you know, she, Cycle Girl's an amazing, you know, she does amazing events. There are always some weird, innovative things. Like, she had a pyramid one time. I can't tell you everything. I'm going to, if I start trying to tell you the ideas, I'm going to mess them up. But Cycle Girl is always good for having some awesome events. So even if you don't want to do a show route, at least make something that makes people want some novelty to the company. Though I always recommend a pay-per-view and weekly shows, at least one show a week,
you know,
if not two.
WWF, you know, they have something very simple. It, you know, they have the weekly trash talk matches. And it's a way of building up. So you're not fighting the same. Well, sometimes I fight the same person a couple of times in a row. But it's all supposed to be random. But it gives an opportunity for the roster to do something, not just the Sunday show, and it gives them an, you know, there are places that they can do in advance.
Well, the trash talk is a great thing, because some people just, you know, wrestle. If you say things, they ignore you, and it becomes a wrestling match, and, you know, you say a few things. Whatever, but some people will actually start trash talking, and then that's when it's a, you know, those are the weeks I love it, when it's, I have an, you know, when you have someone, like this week I had Ricky Hot Rock, and it was kind of fun. I made fun of him for his apple bottom dress, and also I was making fun of his apple bottom contest. So it was, you know, it was fun.
Yeah.
I think trash talking matches are great. I think they are a great concept, and I think, as long as you have fun with it, you know, don't be too hurtful, but, you know, have some fun with it. You know, call them, you know, goatless sacks of dog feces, you know. Just have some fun with it. Brandy, you're
all right, well, we've got 2 minutes left. Real quick, Amadeus, is there anything you want to promote?
Tomorrow night, RAWF After Hours, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Saturday night.
I am so used to this show being on Friday nights, and that I'm actually here makes it feel like it's Friday night. In fact, I don't have to work tomorrow. My manager doesn't have to work tomorrow. So make that Saturday night, ladies and gentlemen, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Screw it. Maybe I'll
all
do
right.
it tomorrow night.
Count
bump count show.
Wanna...
Screw it. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll do my show Saturday. I'm keeping the count tomorrow night. My host Mad Cow and my host Ozzy B-Man, or Bad News B-Man as he's now being called, we will discuss many things. We have no real thing at this moment in time planned. It's just going to be a fun chaos show. I'm going to probably have an interview. I'm just waiting to hear back from the person I'm going to interview, and it'll just be a fun show. So just tune in tomorrow night. If you're going to have fun, you know, have some fun.
All right, Tank. I know we just brought you on. Do you have anything you want to promote real quick?
Yeah. Finally on air. Cool. Anyways, HOG Wrestling, you can get a hold of Jonathan the Grappler Taylor. You can get a hold of Leia Dreamwolf Taylor and Crushing Kelly Kent. Lots of weekly shows, lots of titles, lots of tournaments, lots of hardcore fun. Give them a shot.
All right. Thanks, Tank. All right.
No problem.
Zach, anything you want to promote?
Yeah, I'm starting up a new company.
Everyone wants to promote that his house is on fire.
Sorry, I was cooking again. Sorry, man. Sorry.
Fuck, that hurt.
Sorry, that was kind of unexpected. really sorry if I hurt anybody's ears.
All right, here we go. Be sure to like the Facebook page here on the Back to Basics. Also, if you're looking for a new company, be sure to check out all the great companies listed on the scene. And if you join, if you go to them, let them know that Back to Basics sent you and we are in the after party. Okay. Yeah. Now I can take a breath. Sorry for the heart attack, folks.
Yeah, I had my headphones in, and that freaked me out.
I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. We just got a new one, and it's like that super sensitive one where you can't even cook. I mean, if the heat travels across the ceiling, it'll go off. Yeah. So, but safety first.
Forgot what I was saying.
Well, I kind of had to interrupt you because the show was ending. So, you were going to promote your company.
I was, but whatever.
After party.
What did y'all think of the show?
The show was a good show.
It was fun.
Interesting.
I had time.
I'm glad I got like 3-4 words in this show.
Don't worry. You call in tomorrow. I'll let you have a little bit of time. Don't you worry, Zach Ryo. You can talk about your company.
Hey, Zach. What's up, dude?
Hey. Apparently, Susie doesn't like me. I'm kind of like, I don't know why. I haven't done nothing to her.
Susie doesn't let me on much either. I'm used to it. It's all good.
Alright.
Just kind of, you know, Susie doesn't really like me that much. She kind of just deals with me. So, you know, one of those things.
Well, let's be honest.
Yeah, I called
in. Much of anybody.
I called in, like, what, 2 weeks ago when she did the show, and she screened me, and she's like, oh, it's you, and then just, like, dropped me. I'm like, oh, damn.
Because the best thing about it, when she was talking about working with people with different opinion, she was totally talking about me. Like, she was like, I work with this fucker, but I gotta, you know, act like I like him.
I did not say
that. I read through
the line.
There are just...
No, Susie's a sweetheart, though.
Yeah, there's
just
some guys I just can't. Yeah.
It was a good show, though. The topic was good.
Interesting.
And, B-Man was...
Who won the $10?
The only downside was B-Man was on
My topic.
Oh, it was
well,
yours.
It was Susie's topic. Well, it was our topic.
And Outlaw gave us some ideas for the topic.
So we could technically give him some if he wants. Yeah, we were spitballing with Outlaw for an hour before the show, just, sounding...
Snowballing.
Snowballing, yeah. No, spitballing.
Brainstorming.
Brainstorming, thank you. That's a better word.
Yeah. There we go. Tossing ideas.
So is
out. Mr. Stoon?
No,
what?
I'm just looking at the soundboard. Oh, I was just wondering. I was just looking at this. Oh, yes, I do see Mr. Amadeus. Lord Amadeus is still here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here.
Yeah, I had to interrupt you. Sorry about that. About, I was like, tomorrow is not Saturday.
No, that's true. Like I said, I'm used to being on this show Friday night, so it kind of like automatic. In fact, I don't work tomorrow. It made it feel like a Friday, so.
Yeah, no worries. I understand that completely.
Well, technically, it is your Friday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But do you have Monday
I know, when
off
I used to have
too?
Nights...
Yes.
I used to have Monday, Tuesdays off, and I used to say Monday was my Saturday every week.
Well, that's nice. You get a 4-day weekend.
Oh, no, I had to work the weekend.
No,
my only days
had
off
a 4-day weekend.
I wish.
I have a 7-day weekend.
Oh, yeah, yours is Memorial Day this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Long weekend, your next long weekend.
I tell you, I just saw a meme that actually so really described me. Pretending I'm a pleasant person all day long is exhausting.
Pretending I'm a pleasant person all day long is exhausting. That's a great meme. Yeah, I thought that was customer service. Almost all my jobs were customer service, so yeah. You always have to be, you know, on top professional all the time.
Oh, God. I work in customer service so long that I now hate people.
Oh, well, you have to.
Oh,
you have
God.
To hate, you kind of have to hate people generically like. To then interact with them on a daily level. But you have to try to also see past, you know, hate, and you have to try to love them despite your the annoyances they give you.
Now, once you work at McDonald's, you just hate people for the, like, the rawness of, you know, they're a moron now.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I worked at McDonald's.
I
worked at McDonald's so long that you eventually hate people because you know they're going to ask you what kind of meat's in the chicken nugget, and you're like, how stupid are you if you just ask me what meat is in the chicken nugget?
Yeah.
You know what?
Four lines.
How many did you tell it was cat? How many did you just say cat or squirrel? Because I would have fucked with them.
You can't.
I
would fuck with them.
Shit.
That's how you get fired. Okay, see, I'll tell you a horror story. I worked for a year and a half as an online travel agent kind of shindig.
Oh, God. Wow.
I can't tell you the website, and I can't tell you any legal information, but let's just say I dealt with people who had too much money but not enough brains. And let's just say you begin to resent people sometimes. But I once had a guy of 3 hours yelling at me that he booked a walking tour, but then found out when he got there that he had to walk. In the name, it was like something walking tour. It was in China, and he shows up and he starts arguing semantics that hiking is not walking. And I'm like, sir, hiking is walking through difficult terrain. Next question.
Yeah, you move your legs and use your hips to traverse yourself across the earth. What were you expecting, buddy? A rickshaw ride? What the hell?
Yeah.
I worked customer service for an ambulance company. I kid you not, I read a letter of somebody that wrote in to complain about their bill. So the bill was like $700 without insurance, it was like $700. And the person wrote in and said, well, the ambulances only work 8 hours a day, and I'm not paying, you know, and broke it down that basically his ambulance ride was only worth like $50. He wasn't going to pay for them to eat lunch or take breaks. And I was laughing so hard. By the time I finished reading this, I almost couldn't breathe. It was one of the funniest things I have read.
That is hilarious. So you're telling me that you just wrote it? I would understand if you just rode in the ambulance, like the guy just like, all right, you walk in here yourself, just sit right there, and we'll drive you to the hospital. But don't they normally, like, the ambulance go and checks you out and does all that bunch of work? Are you telling me you got a free ride in the ambulance?
Okay, the office that I worked in,
give them a wrong,
was basically a block in the was across the street from one of the big hospitals in Oklahoma City. The ER was on the south side, and the office I worked in was on the north side, across the street from the hospital. And this lady came in, requested an ambulance to the hospital across the street, so that she didn't have to wait in the waiting room.
You suck, like.
Wow. I remember one time I cut my heel. The reason isn't really important, but yeah. So I ran to the store, called an ambulance because the phone was out, and my mother showed up at the hospital, and she was pissed off because I called an ambulance. Now I have to pay your bill, you little bitch. Exactly what she said. I'm like, I'm sorry. I couldn't walk here. Yeah. Pick up and shit. I called an ambulance.
Yeah, it was... some of the stuff that I heard... people calling in, and some of the crazy stuff I saw in the which you can't talk about them because it's private information, but some of the incident reports, yeah, some of those were pretty funny too.
Hey, Susie, I want to tell you good show, and I'll talk to you later on Facebook, okay?
Okay. Love you, honey.
Night-night, bubs.
Bye, bubs.
I don't know that voice anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I am going to have to say that this after party is going to be over because my voice is almost gone.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say let's call this a night, and thank you everybody that called in both to the show and came in on the after party. In fact, call in again. We'll get you on a little quicker. I was just kind of in the zone tonight. So
okay.
It's
a good show.
It's
okay. We're glad all of you called in. We're glad that everybody that tuned in logged into the after party. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be doing this. Remember to like the Facebook page. And if you're looking for a new company, go and check the thing. And there's a list of companies there that are the sponsors. Check one or all of them out and let them know. If you decide to join, let them know that that's the basis sent you. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of your account.
Y'all have a good night. Thanks for tuning in.
All right. Good night, everybody.
We'll be the same.
All right.